This week's parsha is Bo, and we're finally at the Exodus after the Torah describing the last two parshios about the enslavement in Mitzrayim in Egypt, and all the pain and the suffering, and then the beginning of the process of redemption from last week, the plagues. So finally, in this week's parsha, we have the final three plagues. And then the various mitzvos of Korban Pesach and the Pesach itself and Chag HaMatzos, and then the actual description of the Exodus. That's what I want to focus on this evening, is how the Torah tells us about what transpired the night that the Jewish people actually left Egypt. The Torah says this is found in the beginning of Shishi, of the sixth Aliyah. It's Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Chavtes. It was at midnight. We quote this pasuk at the Seder. We talk about many things that happened throughout our history that are recorded in Tanakh at midnight. So all the firstborn animals, humans, even Paro, they all were killed exactly at midnight. Makas Bechoros, the final and last plague. Vayakum Paro Laila, and Paro himself gets up. It's the middle of the night. It seems to, he would be sleeping normally, but obviously there's this terrible outcry, pain and suffering that the Egyptians are experiencing. He gets up. V'chol v'dav v'chol Mitzrayim. There's this great shouting, crying in Egypt. Ain bayis asher ain shameis. There is no house where there is no one that has died. Vayikra Moshe Aaron, and he calls out to Moshe and Aaron Laila again at night. And there's a whole discussion. The Mefarshim say, did he himself go? Did he send messengers? Where was Moshe and Aaron? Were they in Goshen? Were they in downtown Mitzrayim? The whole discussion exactly, where he sent them and where they were and who sent. Bottom line is Vayomer, and he said, Kumu, get up. Tzu'u mitoch ami, get out from my nation, my people. Gam atem, you, gam b'nei Yisrael, also the Jews. U'lechul uvdu es Hashem kidabachem. Go serve God like you spoke. Gam tzonchem, gam bekarchem, also your animals, your flock, your cattle, your sheep. Chu, kasher dibartem v'lechu. As you spoke, just go. In other words, what he'd asked Moshe at the beginning of the parasha, Miva, Miha, Ochim, who's going along with you? What does Moshe famously say, right? That benarina with the young ones and the old ones, benarina with our sons, our daughters, benarina with our sheep and our cattle, right? Kichag it's a holiday for Hashem, and Paro gets all upset when Moshe says that. He says, "Oh, I see you're playing games with me." Well, now finally he agrees to all the requests that Moshe had made. Everyone can leave, all the people, all the animals, all the cattle. Kichu, take them, kasher dibartem, as you spoke, v'alecho, and go, v'rach them, go megamosi, and bless me, right? Because Paro, as Rashi Chazal say, he was the Bechor, he thought he was going to die. So he says, get out of here. But the Chazak Mitzrayim ala'am, and the Egyptians just try to push the Jews, get them out as quick as possible. The Maher l'shalcham, they hurried them along to send them out, mina aretz. Because they thought they all were going to die, right? They didn't know what was going to be. Maybe it was a starting off of the firstborn, but then ultimately all of them are going to be killed. How do they know? So if I would stop right here, I would ask you, so when did the Jews leave Egypt? They left Egypt, I don't know, at 1 a.m., like 2 a.m., right? This happens at midnight, and immediately there's this they run to find Moshe and Aaron. They say, get out of here. And not only do they say to get out of here, we're told that the Egyptians hurried them out. So, and again, and we know what's going to happen. There's no time for the matzah to rise. So it makes sense. The Jews are just rushed out, right? They've been eating their Korban Pesach that this night. So they sat down to a meal. And, by the time they're getting to bench, eating dessert, they're being, kicked out of their homes. So again, some point in the middle of the night, they're sent away, and that's what we're told next. That the children of Israel carried, the people picked up the dough before it could become leavened, or leftovers, bound to their garments upon their shoulders. And again, the Jewish people, they have to ask the Egyptians for their clothing and for their gold and for their silver. That was part of the deal. And Hashem Nasan Eschem Am B'nei Mitzrayim V'Shalom V'Netzu Es Mitzrayim. Egyptians give these various articles of clothing, the gold and the silver. So the Jews travel from Ramses to Kosel toward Sukkos. Okay, and so they leave. Okay, so they at some point in the middle of the night they were rushed out. The problem is that we have other psukim that seem to say otherwise. And it's not that they didn't necessarily run out in the middle of the night. The Ramban in his commentary on this pasuk tries to understand what's happening. He's going to quote a Gemara in Brachos, which I'll read in a second. He says the following: Bevo paro aliyam shalchu malachim al eretz Goshen asher sham bnei Yisrael lasseis lam rishus latseis. Paro came to Moshe and Aaron, so they then sent messengers to the land of Goshen. Goshen's where all the Jews were living. To tell them that they could leave, or shus latseis, you know, to leave. Please go. Right, please leave. And Benesu Kulam Baram say, so the Jews, they had to get like to a point of, you know, a gathering place. So where do they all gather together? They gathered in Ramses, because it says that they left from Ramses and they went towards Sukkot. So they all gather in Ramses. But says now the Ramban now throws in something, we'll have to see where he gets this from. V'haya Yom Gadol. But they actually leave Ramses during daylight. Yom Gadol. It was daylight. And from there, they journeyed B'yad Ramah with an unpraised hand, Moshe leading them. And how does he know this? So he quotes a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar. Bamidbar. Where in Bamidbar? In the beginning of Parshas Maaseh. In the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, Maaseh is travelings, and Maaseh is the you know where the Torah famously goes through the 42 places that the Jews traveled during the 40 years in the desert. Well, it all I'll read the exact pasuk. Getting a partial Maaseh. Torah says, "By Yisumi Ramses, they traveled from Ramses. Bechodesh Arishon on the first month, which is Nisan." The 15th day of the month, the day after the Pesach. Now, people often get confused about this, but the Korban Pesach was slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan. Right? When the Jews were in Egypt, they slaughtered it on the 14th, and they ate it that night then, which is then the 15th. Right? In the Jewish calendar, the day always begins at night. And in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, this is what happened. You would shech the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, the 14th. And then that night, turning over into the night, which is the 15th, that's when you eat the Korban Pesach. So Yatzu B'nei Yisrael, so here's what the Pasuk says. That the Jewish people leave Egypt, B'yad Ramah. Again, they leave with their hands, like, you know, raised up. Le'enei kol Mitzrayim, in front of the eyes of all the Egypt. That's the key. Le'enei kol Mitzrayim. Again, this is before there are electric lights, before there's electricity. So in the middle of the night, and today you have flashlights, and today you have street lights, you're not going to see anyone. So yet the Pasuk says it was le'enei kol Mitzrayim, that the Egyptians saw them leave. So how could the Egyptians see them leave at night? Must be they didn't leave at night. Must be they left during the day. It must be they left during the day. So that's what the Ramban says, that they left in his word, Yom Gadol. It was daylight. But now the Ramban says, I got a problem, because there's another pasuk. What's the other pasuk? Continues the Ramban. Bakasu Sha'amar, but there's a pasuk in that appears in Devarim, in Sefer Devarim. In Parshas Re'eh, this is Re'eh is where the Torah once again tells us about the various holidays. And so the this is what we read always on the eighth day of Pesach and on Shmini Atzeres on the second day of Shavuos, right? It begins Kol Bechor, or we get Aser Taser on Shabbos, and on Shmini Atzeres we begin with Aser Taser. So we're Parshas Re'eh, it talks about the holidays. So when it comes to Pesach, it says the following. Shamor es Chodesh Aviv, right, to guard the holiday and the springtime holiday. Basisa Pasach l'Hashem Elokecha. You shall do the Pesach, the Paschal offering to Hashem your God. Why should you do this? The Chodesh Aviv, in the springtime, Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha Mitzrayim. God took you out of Egypt. One more word, Laila. He took you out at night. So 1 second. Did he take us out, Le'enei Kol Mitzrayim? Did he take us out in the, with the eyes of all the Egyptians? Or did he take us out at night? Which one was it? Did the Egyptians saw, they didn't see? If it's at night, they didn't see. If it was daylight, they did see. So which one is it? So the Ramban quotes, the Medrash is bothered by this question. Quotes the Sifri, V'lo yatzu el b'yom. I thought they left during the day. Imachras ha-Pesach says the next day, Le'enei Kol Mitzrayim. Ella, it teaches you, Shenigalu Bilayla. No, they were redeemed at night. So what's going on here? So Ramban then quotes the Gemara in Brachos. I'll read you the Gemara in Brachos. This is in Daf Tes, not the ninth page in Pesachos Brachos. Amar Rabbi Abba. Hakol Modim Shenigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim Lo Nigalu Be'erev. I'm going to talk in a second why this is all important. Like, who cares at the end of the day? Because we're talking about a couple hour difference. Why does it matter? So I think there's a major ramification and a major lesson in all this. But let's just get the facts straight. So our rabbis understand the following. Hakol Modim, everyone agrees. Kishenigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim, when the Jews were redeemed from Egypt, Lo Nigalu, when were they redeemed? Ba'erev, at night. They were redeemed at night. Shemar, because the Pasuk says, Hotziach Hashem L'kechum Mitzrayim Laila. Right, the pasuk we just read in Devarim, Parshas Re'eh, says they were redeemed at night. Right, God took you out at night. However, so what do you do with the other pasuk that talks about the day? Ukishiyatsu, but when they left Egypt, lo yatsu l'bayom, they left Egypt only during the day. Shinema mimacharas haPesach yatsu bnei Yisrael b'yad Ramah, as the pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, in Sefer Bamidbar, that they left the next day, Le'enei Kol Mitzrayim, in the eyes of all the Egypt. Right, that's when they left. And the question just is, this says the Gemara, is that when did they sort of rush out? So Elazar ben Azariah saw Armai Chipazon, Chipazon in Mitzrayim. The rushing out is when the Egyptians told them to leave. Right, when the Egyptians tell them to leave, get out of here in the middle of the night. Notice, there's a machlokas until what point you can eat the Korban Pesach. Can you only eat the Korban Pesach until midnight, or do you have the whole night? But there's a big ramifications for us when we eat the Afikomen at the Seder. Right, do you have to eat the Afikomen by midnight, or can you continue eating all night long? Right, so some people always have a tough time with this, because some people spend a lot of time at the Seder. They don't rush through their Seder, but they're all night. They're discussing with the family gathered around the table, and they're talking about going through the Magid. And sometimes it gets very close, you know, towards the are you able to eat the Afikomen before halachic midnight? So this is very important. Do I have to stop eat it by midnight, or that do I have until dawn the next morning? So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you only have until midnight, because that's when the Egyptians told the Jews quickly get out of here. Rabbi Kiva saw Varmai Chipazon, Chipazon d'Israel. Rabbi Kiva says, no, we focus not when the Jews told us to leave, but rather when the Jews actually did leave, which is on the next day. Notice what's happening here. There are two stages. Stage number one is, when did the Egyptians tell the Jews to leave? When were they redeemed? When were they no longer considered to be slaves? That was at shortly after midnight. That's when the Paro and the Egyptians came running to the Jews to get out of here. At that point, they were Nigalu, they were free. But when do they physically leave Egypt? When do they actually go? They didn't actually leave until daylight the next morning. Now, why is that? What's the takeaway? So the simple explanation is that, you know, from yourself, it takes a while to pack. You know, if someone says it's time to go, so until, my kids in the morning going to school, so you wake them up and it takes them, a long time to get their acts together, to get the backpacks ready, the lunches, and eat the breakfast, and the davening, and it's a whole production. And we know ourselves, you go on vacation, you go away, so it takes some time. And even when you're rushing, the rushing can take a few hours until you're ready to go. So that's, and that can be a shot, of just, the delay between being told to leave and then when you actually do depart. But I like to suggest the following, and I don't see anyone who says this, but I'm sure lots of people make this point, because I think it's an obvious point, but I think it's a very important point. And that is the following. Are you going to leave like a mensch? Or are you going to leave as like you're still a slave? Are you going to leave on your own terms? Are you going to leave on someone else's clock, on their watch? In other words, what we have seen in the Torah until this point is that there's always rushing. There's always being forced to do something when you don't want to do it. In other words, the model, I think, of the person who represents the Jewish people and the story of the Jewish people in exile, all the hardship that Jews have experienced and suffered, was Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov was the one, he's the Jew in exile. And he's the Jew who's always on the run. And he's the Jew other people are always dictating to him. And so, when the first time we see Yaakov on the run is when he's running from his brother Esav. Vayetze Yaakov in Be'er Shava, Yel Charana. And when is Yaakov running? So the Torah says, that the sun sets on Yaakov, right? And he has to lie down. And it's a scary time for him. And that's when he has the dream of the ladder and the lachim going up and down. And it's a time when Yaakov doesn't know what the future will bring. And God has to appear to him and to reassure him. That's all happening at night in the darkness. And it's only after God reassures him, the Torah says, Vayikat Yaakov Ishaso, it finally he gets up. And he says, Achen Yish Hashem, that God was in this place, and Achilo Yadati, I wasn't aware of it. And then we're told, Ashkem Yaakov Baboke, then he gets up in the morning. Right? And that's when he's able to have a healthy conversation with Hashem. But at night, he's full of fear and full of trepidation. And this is not the only time that Yaakov has that type of experience. The next time he has that experience is when he leaves on the house of Lavan, when he leaves Aram. And how does he leave? Does the big goodbye party with his father-in-law, with the Lavan? Does Lavan get to kiss all the kinderlach and all the einiklach, all the grandchildren goodbye, and they have a nice suda together? Not at all, right? We the Torah tells us that Yaakov escapes from there, right? Yaakov is he flees, and Lavan doesn't know that he left. How does Lavan not know that he left? Because he escapes in the darkness. He's running away, right? It's at night, and furthermore, it's not explicit there that it's at night. But the impression is again it's certainly a night type of scenario where you're being chased out, you're running out, you're not in the open. And then the story continues with this nighttime fear and running, where at the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, that's when he's that night, and that's when he's having his family cross over the Yabok, this Yabok stream, and that's when he encounters the angel, right? This mysterious man who he wrestles with, right? Where the Torah tells us the following exact words: "Vayvaser Yaakov levadov yavek ishemo adalos ha'shachar." And that all night long until dawn, he's like wrestling with this man. Again, it's that you're alone and you're escaping and you're running and you're and it's this frightening time period. And then one more example, maybe more of these ones I thought of. Another time of Yaakov running away, and specifically being at night, is when Yaakov is being taken to Egypt, right? When there's a famine, and now Yosef has revealed himself to the brothers, and the brothers have gone back to tell Yaakov that that Yosef is alive, and Yaakov decides to see him, but he's not happy going to Egypt, right? He knows what's happening. He knows about the bris ben absarim and the covenant between the parts, and the fact that the Jews are going to be his family will be slaves in a strange land. He sees it all about to unfold. And the Torah says the following. He's traveling the south towards Egypt. He comes to Be'er Sheva. He's coming from Haran to Be'er Sheva. And he brings sacrifices. And now look in the next pasuk. This is in Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Beis and Sefer Bereishis. God appears to Israel, b'maros halayla, in visions at night. I think they say there's the only time this expression appears in the entire Tanakh, b'maros halayla. It's this time of fear for Yaakov, right? Of not knowing what the future will bring and knowing the future is not going to be good. Right? It's going to be very frightening and scary and painful and difficult. God appears to him at night. So the entire journey of Yaakov, again, which I'm arguing is symbolizing the journey of the Jewish people, is this period of darkness, this period of Laila, where you're not in control, but things surrounding you seem to be moving you without you able to make your own decisions. You're constantly running from Esau, you're running from Lavan, right? You're encountering this mysterious angel, and now you're being forced down into Egypt. That was the entire experience of the Jewish people, and then certainly the entire experience in Egypt was one of darkness, right? And in many ways, that's the mita keneged mita, the measure for measure of the Egyptians experiencing that darkness right before Malchus Bechoros. But then when it comes time to the Exodus, right? So the Exodus. So when the Egyptians tell Jews to leave, they tell them to get out at night. So what would have happened if they told them to leave at night? I think it just would have perpetuated their entire experience until this point, that once again, they would not be in control. That once again, it would be others, who would be dictating for them their lives. But they wouldn't be able to self-actualize and to fulfill and to chart their own new course and future and destiny. And so they had to decide that no, we're not leaving, right? We're free. Gula has happened, but we're going to wait till tomorrow, and we're going to do it leine kol Mitzrayim in front of the eyes of all the Egyptians. And I forget who I heard say this, but I thought it's like a beautiful idea. We're now almost just a little more than a month away from Purim. So in the Megillah. Right, there's always this one question that always bothers everyone when they read the Megillah, is that Esther, right? She has to go before Achashverosh. Mordechai tells her to go for Achashverosh. She's afraid, and she goes, and famously, right? Achashverosh accepts her and says, what do you want? And she says, oh, come to a party, right? I want you to come. You and Haman come to a party. So what happens at that part? What's the big news? What's the excitement of that party? The excitement of the party is, what's her request? Come tomorrow to another party. I say, well, why can't she reveal right now at the first party? So there's very beautiful explanations why she has to wait to a second party. I think Soloveitchik has this fascinating suggestion that she was waiting for something to happen, and she wasn't yet ready to point her finger at Haman, because she's going to have to accuse Haman of being unfaithful, and Zachashir is really going to believe her, and it's only... So nothing happens, so she has to do a delay tactic, and she waits to. And what happens between the first party and the second party is the whole thing with the dream, and you know, and Ahasuerus can't sleeping, and then Haman coming in, and Haman not being faithful to the king, he doesn't reward Mordecai. A whole explanation, but you know, of why she pushed delays. But again, I forget who said this, but I think another way of understanding it is, why does she say come tomorrow? You know, come back tomorrow, because she understands when it's time for redemption, it's going to be on our terms. Right, that you're not going to dictate us. It'll be tomorrow. We can wait till tomorrow. Right, tomorrow it's going to occur. We're going to leave when we're ready to believe. We're going to now take control. God has now empowered us, and therefore I think that's what's happening here. That Dafka Hashem has the Jewish people leave Egypt. Now when the Egyptians tell them to leave at night when they try to hurry them out. But the Jews we're going to leave the next morning, right? And right when the sun is shining and it's blue skies and the Egyptians are seeing exactly what's happening. They're seeing these thousands of Jews gathered together at Ramses. And you know what? And there's nothing they can do about it. But the Jews with their heads held high, we're going to march right out of Egypt. And I think Hashem orchestrated that way to empower the Jews, right? And that's why even like next week's parsha, right? The Torah is going to say that the Jews had to see the bodies of the Egyptians wash up at the shore, because again, they had to have that confidence that we are free, that you know, no one is going to oppress us, you know, moving forward. And I think, you know, just an important takeaway from all this is that in terms of how, you know, we conduct our own lives as individuals, as a nation, is to have that strength and that courage, and to be proud of who we are, and to you know, and it's a, it, and I think it's a hope, and it's a tefillah, you know, that we shouldn't have to be on the run, because throughout our history that's often been our case, right? Often we've had to run, we've been kicked out of, you know, one country out of the next, and you know, the ultimate gula is that we're not going to have to do that anymore. But, you know, again, it's going to be on the wings of eagles, that we're going to fly high, and we're going to be proud, and we're going to be able to, you know, experience a redemption when we're in control, we're empowered, and that we're dictating our own future. And that's, again, that's, I think, we work to as individuals and individualize that, you know, sometimes in life we see things seem to, often in our own lives, right, things seem to be out of control. You know, and that's, you know, we're dictated by lots of things that are going around us, but and so we try to take control. We try to say that no, I make these decisions, and I'm going to do what is best. And when we're in those moments when things are out of control, that's always the feel of the hope that I can regain that control, and that's for us as individuals, and certainly that's our hope as a people, that you know, going through the Splunga exile that we've been to these last 2,000 years, that we have a modern state of Israel, and but it's, you know, we still have lots of challenges and lots of issues, and to say the least. But I think the takeaway from this parsha is that this hope towards the future, that there will be a time, you know, once again, hopefully very soon, that you know, the nations of the world will tell us, okay, it's enough, and you know, your redemption is here, but we're going to say, okay, we're going to wait till the morning, right? We're going to be like Esther and we'll say, we'll do it again. We'll do it tomorrow, right? And we'll be able to, with heads held high, we'll be able to demonstrate that indeed that we are free, and that we are redeemed, and that as a people, we're now going to embrace our future destiny. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.